Are you taking pleasure far too seriously? Is it time to lighten the damn mood and have some fun already? Let's get out of our heads and bring on the laughter, the strange, and explore the full breadth of the intimacy playground. Hello and welcome to OMG Spot Podcast, Pillow Talk for the Soul. We're your hosts, Elise Shellman and Lisa Wade, here today to talk about play. How does play lend itself towards pleasure in and out of the bedroom?
Woo! I love this topic. I love this topic. Mainly because pleasure doesn't have to be so damn serious. You know, we've talked a lot about our asshole brains. We've talked a lot about communication. We've talked a lot about kind of the serious side of intimacy and of relating and, you know, all the ways to deal with what might feel heavy. But oh my gosh, there's the whole opposite side of that. That is, can we just have some fun already?
Yes.
Yes. Whether we have clothes on or we're naked, can we just have some fun already? Isn't that kind of the point?
Yeah. And can we also play with vulnerability and bring play into intimacy? You know, last week we talked about radical honesty, which for some might be kind of heavy or incredibly unknown territory to dive into. And I think that play is a wonderful tool to help us move into our zones of discomfort so we can bring lightheartedness to it and expand it and have it be more comfortable so we can enjoy the process and not just sit and, oh my God, this is so scary.
Vulnerability with a side of laughter. Vulnerability with a giggle. That feels so freeing and so much more fun. And when it doesn't feel so heavy, my experience at least is I'm actually willing to be more vulnerable. So it's almost as if the play or the giggles or the lightheartedness can open the vulnerability door even more. And for me personally, I've also seen it be able to open the receiving door even more, where I allow myself to receive more pleasure.
Yes.
So it's like a double benefit.
Yeah. For me, play sets a foundation of safety, right? And openness. And like you said, opening the door. My husband and I have a very, very playful relationship. We're very weird. We're very dorky. And we often are just exclaiming, oh, thank God, like, you love my weird. Like, thank God I can do this with you. And you don't, like, want to run far away because we just do weird shit.
And if you're going to do weird shit outside the bedroom, then there's no reason that inside the bedroom has to be completely different, you know, that, oh, we're fun loving and giggly and weird and all this stuff in life. So let's be really, really serious in the bedroom. That would be, it seem incoherent, you know, to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Having the lightheartedness outside of the bedroom absolutely helps bring that into the bedroom. You know, we've talked about how my husband and I have had a lot of challenges in the bedroom, and play is one of the things that has really helped. Mm-hmm. And just being able to laugh at yourself in the moment, because for, I'd imagine for all of us, we're going to hit up against these places where we're going to get in our head, or we're going to make it mean something, or something's going to be triggered. And if we're willing to laugh it off, throw on an accent, make a joke about it, then it's going to make it all okay. So we're willing to stay in the intimacy. We're willing to stay in the connection rather than create space. Mm-hmm.
And when both people understand that this is how we roll, this is how we operate, then what a wonderful way to ease into greater pleasure. Because, you know, but I do feel like play has the opportunity to make things easier, just in terms of not being so damn serious all the time. You know, because when we're not playing, for me, I'm up in my head. And that's that makes things harder as opposed to easier. And it does feel like play is one of the best ways to just get out of my head, you know, to just be goofy, to just allow, to giggle, to laugh, to ease the tension, but in a way that doesn't feel dismissive, you know, to another person, or, you know, to the partner, not dismissive and not taking things light that maybe are serious, but bringing a lightness to a serious topic, you know, or a serious situation that can just make it more fun. Because it seems to me the point of pleasure is fun.
Absolutely. I mean, that's all part of feeling good. Yeah. Fun feels good.
Fun does feel good.
Yeah.
It does feel good.
Yeah.
You know, when we were talking about what is good sex a couple of episodes ago. And, you know, I remember having had that conversation with my partner, and for us both, it was a matter of, you know, interaction that actually increases connection or intimacy, and intimacy we define very broadly, right? But that actually increases that connection. And then for both of us, if it leads to laughter, you know, if there is laughter involved somehow, either during or after or whatever, that's the sign of, wow, that was fucking fantastic. You know? And that just goes back to that play and willingness to just have fun with it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a tendency to get too serious about things and wanting it to look a certain way, or expecting communication to entail, you know, we're looking into each other's eyes and there's no distractions and our tone is this certain way. And there are times I just need to lighten the fuck up. I really do. Probably why I chose my husband, because he is the opposite and he has a tendency to use sarcasm 99% of the time. Unless I can be like, okay, hold up, hold space. This is big. We're diving into something. It's such a good reminder for me that it can look so many ways. And not to get stuck in just one way. And he has taught me that intimacy can be born through fun and play and laughter. And it's not this serious thing. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. And am I allowing myself to explore the full breadth of the intimacy playground?
Mm. I love that. The full breadth of the intimacy playground. That's a great way of looking at it. And for me too, it feels like when there's play involved, that play is less outcome and expectation oriented. It feels like more in the moment, being more present, just enjoying what is, instead of having our minds attached to how it's supposed to look, how it's supposed to feel, how the orgasm has to happen, if the orgasm happens at all. I mean, just all those things that when we're coming at something with a sense of playfulness, that all of that just kind of falls away.
Yeah, laughter really anchors us into our bodies and into the present moment in a really beautiful way. And so in a former life, I was a laughter, laughter yoga leader. So essentially, if you've ever heard of this thing, it's essentially laughter exercises.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's 30 minutes, 60 minutes dedicated to fake laughing that turns into real laughter. And the science behind laughter, when you look at it, is the body doesn't actually know the difference between real laughter and fake laughter.
Mm.
And so if you're willing to even try and open yourself up to the possibility that laughter is there, laughter will be there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And if it needs to start maniacally, like or hoity-toity or whatever it is, it doesn't matter because it's infectious and it's going to grow and it's going to spread. And it's so good for our bodies. So good for us.
I love that you bring this up, and I love that you have practiced this in the past and led people in laughter. That's amazing. When I look at my family, so my birth family, genetic family, one of my very, very favorite things about when we all get together, it is almost a certainty that when like my mom and my brother and my daughter and I are all together, something is going to happen. And it can be the most random, just completely ridiculous thing, but we will get to laughing and like giggling, like hyperventilation type laughter, like ab workout laughter, like I'm crying, worried I'm going to wet myself kind of laughter. I turn into, my brother makes so much fun of me because I start sounding like a tea kettle because I lose my, like I lose my breath or I'll snort or whatever. But that is, I think, my favorite thing on the planet, like my favorite part of life even, are those moments of just uncontrollable laughter with people I love. That to me is so special. Not to say I want to turn into a tea kettle and snort in the bedroom necessarily, but you know, it is a level of almost like vulnerability or intimacy, not physical. I mean, when it's with family, we can still be intimate with family, but in a different way, obviously. But that, it's something that makes us feel closer together. And when I think of memories of the past, it's like we can almost always remember what sparked that laughter outbreak. You know, it does anchor the memory in, or anchor in that, just that special time. And, you know, it's when we're all together. We were together this past weekend. My brother came up and we're sitting at dinner, totally random thing. And it was ice cream. We're sitting having ice cream after my daughter's baccalaureate and got to goofing and just the laughter and the tears and all the good stuff. And I'm like, this, you know, is what life feels when life feels really good to me. And so knowing that that's so relevant outside the bedroom, you know, in a lot of other ways, to me, our most intimate relationships, you know, physically intimate, you know, whatever the intimacy is with our partner, if that can also benefit or enjoy that kind of laughter, that kind of joyful spirit, it just takes things to a whole nother level and makes it more fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And when we combine that concept with the understanding that we literally can fake it till we make it, it's as easy as choosing into it. We don't have to say something funny. We don't have to even do something funny. We can just choose into laughter and then choose into that moment. And that's us choosing into connection and intimacy.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Now, if people just randomly broke out laughing in the middle of sex, and the other person wasn't quite ready for it, that could be wonderful or it could be weird, you know, one way or the other. I think that's where knowing your partner actually really matters. You know, if it's the first time I'm seeing a penis and I'm laughing out loud, this could be a problem. I will admit, with my current partner, I look down, I'm like, oh my God. And I start laughing because I was so happy. Yes. Thank God, yes. And of course that tickled him, you know, I mean, he got a little goofy about that too, but I was so grateful that, oh, look at what I've got to work with here. I was so happy and I couldn't help but laugh. But I can honestly recognize too, that for some people, you know, a woman looking at their penis and busting out laughing could be taken in a very different way, you know.
I think by now our listeners know you well enough to know that laughter is pretty much your set response for joy.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Crying is mine. I could look down and start crying out of joy and gratitude, and that could also be mistaken for something else. But my partner knows, like, okay, she's crying. That's good. She's crying. That's good. Okay. Okay.
You know, we situation came up recently that where in the throes of passion, I could tell partner's getting up in his head, right? getting up in his head, potentially about to affect some, you know, little performance anxiety type of situation. And in that moment, to try to diffuse the seriousness of, you know, because the more serious it felt, the more I could tell he was going to be up in his head. And so I was like, hey, we're just making out here. We're just making out, you know, we're just making out. And it was, and he started giggling, you know, he was like, yeah, we're just making out. And so by taking the pressure off, okay, this is, you know, something, you know, more physical with very specific outcome oriented type things. Hey, we're just making out. And it's like, we both giggled, but it diffused the situation so that the pleasure was much more present. And it was just much more enjoyable, but it was a matter of just, okay, let's not be so heavy. Let's get a little lighter here. We're just making out. No big thing. We're just making out, you know? Mm-hmm. And so even that little tiny bit of play made a significant difference in the overall kind of closeness of the experience, because yeah, we were both about to get up in our head and create division instead of closeness. And that was the exact opposite of what we wanted. So just a little phrase or just a little, you know, just a little something to kind of diffuse and to lighten the mood was all it took. And then, whew, yeah. And then we were laughing later for whole different reasons, you know, that were very good. But so I really appreciate you bringing this up, you know, this topic of play and just not being so damn serious all the time in the bedroom. Jeez.
Yes. Yes.
Sometimes I hear people talk about play, but more from a, like a fetish perspective or, you know, BDSM perspective or something like that. And I'm, for me personally, I know I haven't like gone down those paths to know what that kind of play feels like or is like. I've often felt like it had that for some of it has a very serious kind of undertone to it. And I think that's maybe why I've been less interested, because it felt so serious, you know, like, and I'm like, oh yeah, no, I'll just play my way. but I don't know. I could be wrong on that.
Yeah. My husband and I took this little class that was all about bringing playfulness into sensuality. And one of the exercises, they quite literally had us pretend to be little kids and play with our toys and engage our partner in playing with toys. And there was another one where they had us like be animals with one another. So we're quite literally acting like children as a means of bringing up this lighthearted energy and softening what tends to be so much pressure, expectation, or even just like lack of communication. And so we're not even on the same page and completely evens the playing field. And it was wildly different than anything we'd have ever engaged in together, but it was great. I mean, there were some exercises I had never heard my husband laugh so fucking hard in his life. And we can still like engage, like we have a little code word we can say now, and we remember that moment and we both bust up laughing. And it just puts us right back into that space. And I think, like you said, with, you know, when you're with your family, you just know there's going to be that laughter and there's that deep connection. You have that to look forward to. When we can bring that into our relationships and into the bedroom, it's just so much better.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So when you're acting like children and acting, I'm fascinated now, acting like animals, other things, was there also like a sexy component to that? Or did it like go away from the sensuality? How did that work?
There was not a sexy component to that, but there were sexy exercises after.
Okay.
So it was a means of kind of lightening the mood. Mm-hmm. So then it was easier to do some of the other things and create intimacy. So there were exercises like eye gazing. Mm-hmm. And the rule was like, you couldn't laugh during eye gazing and you couldn't look away. So like, here's your opportunity to you know, be playful. And then let's also practice being serious and learn how to do the dance between the two. But there wasn't necessarily a commingling of the two for that particular course. But
gotcha. Yeah. I'm here up in my head going, ooh, if I'm, you know, acting like an elephant, like, while acting like an elephant, and how does this play off to, you know?
Yeah, we didn't take that into the bedroom.
Okay.
It really helped with the foundational pieces.
Thank you for that clarification. I was very confused.
That could have gotten weird. So
speaking of weird.
Yeah, my husband and I do get weird. So I want to hear about some of your stuff. But one of the things, like, my husband has these really cute little cheeks.
No.
Like, they're fucking adorable. They're the kind of cheeks you expect to see on a little kid that, like, grandmas just want to pinch and hold on to. Uh-huh. He still has them. And for some reason, I always want to put them in my mouth. And so I'll just go up to him with my mouth open. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm just like, I just want to put your cheeks in my mouth for a minute. We do weird stuff like that all the time.
He's not like, you're trying to eat my face. I'm a little confused, but he knows now, right?
He knows.
Does he find it endearing?
I think it's mostly annoying.
That's one of the things that I've noticed is that for me, at least, I do some pretty random weird shit, right? I mean, I'm a self-admitted weirdo, and I've just decided to roll with it. And that's what makes me me. But to find the person who can find that endearing instead of roll their eyes at me, you know, to where it's not like, oh, geez, she is a freaking nut. Not go there, but oh my gosh, she's different and I love it. that allows me to be me, but in a more playful way that does kind of bring about the playfulness and the giggles and the laughter through, you know, all of it, including sexy time, you know, instead of feeling like I have to be a certain way to be perceived as sexy or sensual or whatever. I just need to be me. And for the right person to know, to see me as sexy in all of my weird glory, you know, and having found that person, it's so fucking liberating. It's so liberating. And there's something about that safety and security of being able to be fully me, just show up, not hiding, fully me. And for that to be appreciated and seen as endearing instead of the other, that just makes all of the intimacy so much more fun. All of it, whether it's in the bedroom or just out in the, you know, just out at dinner or walking around and, you know, at, in a museum or just whatever. I'm so grateful. And for me, play and gratitude kind of go together too, because gratitude doesn't have to be all serious either. There can be a playful side to that. Mm.
So what's some of the weird shit you do, Lisa?
Weird.
Let's hear it. What are the things you classify as like, oh no, someone's going to call me a freaking nut?
Well, most of my weird shit is just life. You know, I mean, in terms of my beliefs, the way I show up in the world, just, you know, me being not traditional, you know, I don't know about weird necessarily in while naked, you know. I'm gonna have to think about, I don't know that there's like specific weird shit in the bedroom that I'm,
there's gotta be weird. I see you as an incredibly playful person, so I can only imagine like weird shit gets birthed from play. So some examples, my husband and I've admitted to reading a lot of romance novels. Mm-hmm. And a lot of stuff that you read in romance novels, like, just isn't possible in real life. It doesn't make sense. And so I'll have my husband act some of this out, right? Like, there was an author, I read like 10 of her books, and every book, it was like, they're hot breath in my mouth. And so I'd be like, babe, open your mouth. And I go, and breathe my hot breath. And it's not sexy. It's kind of fucking weird. And so we'll just occasionally just go, don't you love my hot breath? Stupid shit like that. You know, we do accents. We do accents all the time. And what's weird is we match our accents unknowingly. Like, there just seems we're on the same wavelength where certain scenarios require certain accents. And we seem to just know that instinctively. We have weird fake makeout sessions.
Tell me more.
So we'll like grope each other and we'll do hot breath and we'll just like stick our tongues out and wiggle them at each other. And like, and we'll just both get into it for like 20 seconds and then we'll stop and be like, fucking weird, and then walk away. That kind of stuff. You know, we're not the only ones that do this, right?
You're the only ones that I know that do this, that have the courage to talk about it.
That's the best, though. The full-on fake makeout sessions where, you know, it's almost like you're making fun of a movie scene, mm-hmm. of like teenagers learning how to touch each other and kiss, and you know, our hands are just all over each other. Everything's very exaggerated. And yes, very.
I may have to try to up my weirdo game then.
I mean, you've called yourself a weirdo. What does that mean to you? Like, this is my weirdo.
Just life. More life weird. Yeah, I am probably pretty tame and not terribly weird while naked. Interesting. Being naked might actually cause me to tame up a bit. And I've never thought about that before. Maybe I need to not.
You won't just like randomly lick your partner's face?
No. I've never done that. There might be some ear nibbling, you know. I'm trying to think. Yeah. Partner. This did make me giggle. The tiniest little nipples. Making reference to, oh my god, they're so cute and tiny. He's like, what the fuck? He's like, I'm not exactly sure that how I'm supposed to feel about that. I'm like, oh my god, they're adorable though. And yeah, I'm not sure that helped. He eventually laughed too. So now it's kind of our running joke just about his tiny little nipples. But I don't know that that's terribly weird. More weird about me actually mentioning them and noticing that they're tiny. I don't know. Tiny little things. And then of course I get to go, well, at least that, you know, if anything on you was going to be tiny, I'm glad it's your tiny little nipples, because you very well make up for it in other areas.
I'm a love listening to this episode.
I'm a big fan. Yeah. Anyway. I don't know. I do get to laughing sometimes. And that is probably weird for some people that I just get to giggling, but to find that, you know, the right person to where giggling is also just can be part of the fun instead of a turnoff, you know. Even, okay, so we were in the throes recently and I did get to laughing and I did snort, and that can be seen as very non-sexy perhaps to some people, but that got him laughing extra and he decided it was endearing, and I was very grateful for that. I was like, oh my god, you know, I didn't mean to snort, but I did. So anyway, yeah.
To the extreme. I think that play helps us expand our definition of sexy.
Oh, I love that.
Right. Because when we think sexy, a lot of times the image that comes to my mind is like a very skinny white woman in lingerie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's kind of what's portrayed as what's sexy, and letting go of this need to show up as sexy. Mm-hmm. I think just brings so much more joy and connection and depth to a relationship. And that's not to say, like, I love the lingerie. I want to be sexy. And, you know, there's the seduction piece. And this is a whole other realm of intimacy to explore. And they can happen at the same time.
Yeah, that maybe authenticity is the real sexy. When you find, when you're with the person who appreciates you so deeply for your true, authentic, real self, and that finds that to be what's appealing, that finds that to be what is sexy, that turns them on. What a gift, what an incredible gift that is. Because then size, shape, amount of lace, you know, none of that matters at that point. Or it's less relevant, we'll put it that way. And maybe it's that authenticity that is where the weirdness gets to show, or the fun loving side gets to show, or the giggle side gets to show. I know when I've been in relationships in the past where I haven't embraced that side of me as much for a host of reasons, but you know, to where it didn't feel safe to embrace my more playful side, I didn't feel as sexy. And it did create, and I haven't thought about this until just now, but it did create rifts in intimacy. And so maybe that element of intimacy in terms of being able to be exactly who we are, weirdness, playful, laughter, giggles, occasional snorts, whatever, you know, both while fully clothed and, you know, living life, but also while naked and, you know, in the bedroom. What a gift. What a gift.
Yeah, with my husband and I, even now after years of being weird together, now that you know what our flavor of weird means, there's still, after being so random and just allowing ourselves whatever we're feeling to just come out, that there's a giant exhale that comes with that. I'm just like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Like, I know you think I'm weird, but your weird matches my weird. Mm-hmm. And so we just got to be fucking weird together. And there's just such like a reassurance and just, I don't know how to articulate it beyond just saying a deep sigh of almost relief. Like, I don't have to hide or hold myself back or contort myself in any way to be fully received by you. I'm just fucking weird.
Yeah.
And we love that about each other. And we still surprise each other with how fucking weird we are.
Well, and if that's the core of like it, and if you're operating from a core of just who you are and that matches, that's beautiful. I have been in situations in the past where the person was trying to be playful, but his brand of weird was not my brand of weird. So like when he reaches over and gets, I don't know if you're familiar with Billy Bob teeth, if you know what this is, it's a redneck Southern thing, you know, where it's like fake teeth, but they're missing teeth and the gums. And, you know, I mean, just to put those in the midst of the throes of passion, I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me right about now. There's nothing sexy about that, that buzzkill right there, you know, or different things that may be a different partner's brand of sexy for him, you know, or play or fun or weird. But for me, it just didn't match, you know? And so it was kind of a turn off.
Now I'm curious, was it that your brand of weird didn't match or that you just didn't match?
Well, yeah, I think we just didn't match.
Yeah. Cause I would imagine that if you matched,
yeah,
that the weirdness is going to be received in a whole new way.
Ooh, that's a very good point. Very good point. And when you're trying to force a match that really isn't there and you know it, then things like that just go to further accentuate the divide instead of create, you know, more intimacy. That is an excellent point. Excellent point. Yeah. Yeah. I just remember though, like shaking my head going, what the actual fuck? And saying it out loud, what the fuck are you doing? You know, that stop, you know?
Yeah. And I think that that may have been you really saying to yourself, what the actual fuck are you doing? Just stop.
Yes.
Right. In regards to the relationship.
Yeah.
Very maybe good. I'm reading a little too deep, but yeah, well, I think there's some parallels there.
I think you're actually right. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're actually right there. And so maybe there's some clues in there as well, you know, that sometimes it clues that, oh my God, I'm absolutely with my absolute right person, to where our fun, you know, our playful natures are beautiful matches for each other. And other times when it's like, oh, if our playful natures are not matching at all, that could be indicative of something mismatch elsewhere too. So, and that's awareness. It's just good to know.
Yeah. I think there's also something to be said for play isn't always the most appropriate response every single time.
Yeah.
And there are definitely times when I'm feeling playful and my husband's not in the mood for my playfulness, or vice versa. And then we just become really obnoxious.
Okay.
That can happen too.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pointed out to me recently that apparently when things get really deep and really heavy, like big conversations where there's a lot of sharing, you know, and a lot of vulnerability out on the table, that apparently my go-to at a certain point is to crack a joke, say something, you know, lighten the mood, but just somehow I will inject humor in some way to just, and I didn't even know I did this. Like, I didn't even recognize until he pointed it out to me that I even did this. But it's like, yeah, it's, you don't let things get too heavy. And he saw it as a benefit, you know, because rather than sinking totally deep, you know, it was like an opportunity to breathe, you know, an opportunity to breathe for a second. And then we could keep at the conversation. But there are some people that would really piss them all off. Oh, what? You're making light. We're having a deep conversation here, and you go and make a joke, you know? So I think that there's something to be said about just making sure that it fits, but how do you know if it fits, you know, in terms of where the other person is at the time. And so being open to the recognition that maybe sometimes our playfulness is a little misplaced.
Well, I think it's fair to say that we use sarcasm or laughter, joy, play as a means of finding comfort in what is an uncomfortable situation. Right. And so when we're getting deep into conversations, it can feel scary. It can feel foreign. It might trigger some unhelpful thoughts, making it mean something about us. And if we can just inject a little bit of lightheartedness and laughter and play, then it helps to alleviate some of the blockages we're creating for ourselves, so we can move further into those zones of discomfort.
You know, and as you say that, zones of discomfort and injecting the playfulness, you know, recently there was an invitation. How about you just receive? Let me give you pleasure. Let me contribute to your pleasure. How about you just let yourself fully receive? And, you know, not with any expectations. And I needed to approach that from a place of playfulness, because if I would have approached it really serious, then up in my head, you know, fixated on an orgasm or some specific outcome, worried about, ooh, but shouldn't I be giving in return now? You know, so the reciprocal nature of everything, I would have been all, well, I'd be blocking it and fucking it up, because I'd be up in my head about it. And so by being willing to actually breathe, you know, to actually breathe, to approach it from a more playful space, that allowed me to receive in a way that I had never received before. And we're not talking 5-10 minutes, we're talking, you know, an hour and a half of receiving. And it was just like, yeah. Holy hell, it was amazing. I mean, this whole like savoring the moment, but not from a super serious place, just savoring all of it. and feeling so completely satisfied and just, whoa, and so close. But if I hadn't allowed for, if I'd been too serious about it, it would have fucked it all up. I would have stood, you know, I would have gotten in the way of one of the most incredible experiences sexually of my life, you know, and it wasn't even sex. It was just here, let me receive everything that's not sex, you know, but that needed a lighter spirit or it wouldn't have been possible because I would have been shooting on it instead of mm-hmm. just allowing it. Whew.
Yeah. Yeah. There really is so much power in play. And I think that in a way it's been demonized in the bedroom and we've made it mean that there's a lack of connection or a lack of intimacy or an inability to be present when really it's being used to lay the foundation for those things. Mm-hmm. And when we can receive it in that way, it massively opens up the doors for us to receive more and more and for it to get better and better.
Yeah. You know, and I wonder, like the role of play and intimacy, you know, I've seen or maybe even experienced sometimes that when it's more of almost like a friends with benefits thing, or when you know that the emotional intimacy isn't the thing, you know, where this is physical. And so play almost has seemed easier, or like I'm thinking about movies, you know, and how that can play out in movies. I think it was called Friends with Benefits with Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis. Is that the movie I'm thinking about? But when it was just friends, they were super playful with each other and would communicate and would be all, you know, they would laugh and it was all fun. The minute it started getting more serious, then it was like the play was gone, you know, and I think it doesn't have to be that way. I think the beauty can be when the intimacy, the heart connection is there, the safety is there, and the play is there, that just takes the intimacy to a whole nother level. That's super enjoyable. But I think it's that safety component that's key. And for some people, once their heart really gets engaged, it can start feeling less safe. But maybe playfulness is a way to help underpin the safety, which is what you mentioned at the very beginning of this conversation.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful bridge builder.
Yeah, a way to build that foundation, yeah, of safety and security and just being able to have fun. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Yes.
Good stuff.
Whew. Well, I'm just going to keep being weird.
weird on. Yep. And I'll just apparently keep giggling a lot with the occasional snort and tea kettle thrown in because.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, may we all continue to imbibe upon the laughter available to us in life. Mm-hmm. Every which way possible, and just let it get better and better.
Better and better. Playful.
And that's a wrap. This concludes season 2 of OMG Spot Podcast, Pillow Talk for the Soul. Until next time, we're wishing you many happy orgasms.